Hi, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, hour number 3. 4 o'clock hour. Next hour, we're still trying to get confirmed if it'll be okay with Jaden Daniels.
I haven't heard from their team yet.
I know, but I also had Jaden Daniels as the Aztec quarterback last segment. Said, isn't Jaden Daniels coming back? Kirk's like, Denegal.
And then you said Senegal, which is a country.
I know, I tried that. Yeah, I'm everywhere. But I do love my Aztecs, even if I don't have all the players' names memorized. And if Oklahoma does that to us, the arrogance, it's just going to upset me so much. And it almost isn't even just Oklahoma's fault. It's just the system's fault.
They're just doing upset with you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're just doing what they in that position are going to be doing.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, college football, that's the one sport that I could say, Kirk, and now you, Scraby, I could say that I would love to see them just, like, be so greedy that they, you know, just destroy themselves almost. And then at the end, they pick up the pieces and we kind of start over again with a fresh world of college football. But I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's like not likely.
Yeah, I'm dreaming of something that's not likely.
I just tracked the Padres plane. They've been delayed, so.
Uh-oh.
They just took off.
From New York.
Mm. Right. Again, you think it's weird that I track planes, but I do.
I do think it's weird.
I do.
Do you want to text Tony and make sure they've left yet?
Well, I could tell that he's at 12,300 feet.
Oh,
right
he
now.
Is, so yeah. He wouldn't be able to. Yeah.
Well, they have Wi-Fi. Ready for the game?
Yeah, let's play Chris versus the fans. We got a big prize today. A pair of tickets to Luke Combs. He's coming up at Petco Park on June 26th. That's right. You're going to be getting these tickets 10 months. You're going to be winning them 10 months ahead of the concert. You probably forget the concert even going to happen, but.
And then you'll get an email saying, you got tickets.
Right, and you'll be like, oh, yeah. Ticket info at lukecombs.com. And it's Chris versus the fans. It's time to play ball.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know Gen 4.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you know what you're playing for. The rules, you have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player
or contestant or combatant.
Entrant or combatant,
right.
Let us know before you get into the first question. You'll get that for free today.
All right.
It's been a while since we played.
You know, a lot of times we play this, too. You only qualify to win something.
Yeah,
today
this is
you're actually going to win it.
Yeah. All right, to start, Chris, 1 through 6, give me a number.
Well, if it's okay with Jaden Daniels, we'll start with number 5.
I'm still trying to figure out if that's okay, Chris.
I know. If you can't beat him, join him, and everybody else is making fun of him, so I might as well get in on it.
I can't even tell you how many funny memes are out there right now.
Yeah, I know.
There's so many. All right, let's go to Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dan. Are you a Luke Combs fan?
I don't even know if he's country or rock, but I'm going to say he's probably country.
Probably country, and you might win some points with some, I don't know.
Huh?
Nephews, nieces, hey, kids in your neighborhood
who
might want to go.
I'm a wannabe drummer, so I like all music.
Oh, okay. All right, very nice.
Well,
very
hopefully
nice.
You win the tickets.
All right, Dan, here we go. Question number 1.
You say he's a wannabe drummer, or
yes,
you actually
yes.
do drum?
Wannabe drummer.
I mean, because everyone in your neighborhood probably then would hate you if you're drumming. Just saying.
No, they actually dig it.
They think you're good enough. Okay, I like it. Good, yeah. Dan.
All right, Dan. What team's fans wear cheese heads?
Packer fans.
Packers fans.
On the board. Dan's on the board. Good job,
I got
man.
A story real quick, Chris.
Okay.
I went to a 49ers playoff game when they played the Packers, and I was like 7 years old, and I thought the cheeseheads were very cool. I asked my grandpa to buy me one. He said no, and I am so happy he said no.
Yeah, you can't have
because
one.
You can't have a 49er fan wearing a cheesehead.
Not at all.
What a stupid kid I was.
Yes, you were.
What a stupid kid.
You know, there's some people who say you haven't even really gained ground since then.
Hey, what a stupid kid. I would have punched me if I was my grandpa.
All right.
Next one. I got to hit this, and then we can go. What team did the Red Sox beat in the ALCS en route to their first World Series in 86 years? So who did they beat when they broke the curse of the Bambino? Never mind.
The Red Sox, that would have been, they beat the Yankees.
The Yankees is correct. Got it. They're down 3-0. Yes.
Some guy named Dave Roberts stole second base. And you would think that that one stolen base won all four games for them, the way history has written that.
Yeah, yeah. It is. I mean, they were down 3-0 in that series.
Yes, and he stole the base in game four. And that allowed, I think, Bill Miller to single him in with the tying run. And then they won that game, won game five, six, and seven. But Dave Roberts, that's all Dave Roberts did. But it was the big deal.
I got to ask, how old was he? Was this like an improbable stolen base?
No, he was quick.
Okay, so
he was a good stolen base guy, but okay. He did it against Rivera. And, you know, they brought him into the game. Kind of everybody knew. It was like he needed to get to second because, you know, Bill Miller was at the plate, but he was more of a singles hitter. And anyway.
All right. All right, here we go. Question
We're
number three.
We're just delaying
to
the
Dan.
Inevitable for Dan here. He's on his way to the title.
Or is he?
We'll
I was
out.
Asked this the other day. I had no idea.
Okay.
Who is the youngest head coach in the NFL right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
There's only 26 guys or 30 guys.
Wow.
32, actually.
You know, I think I know.
People of my age don't know these coaches like we used to, you know? I'm Chris's age.
Yeah,
but,
no,
yeah,
right.
That's
I used
a tough
to be able
one.
To name
I'm gonna pass on this one because I don't have a guess.
Ooh, okay, good strategy there, Dan.
That's a good idea. I think I don't really know
who is the youngest head coach in the NFL right now.
Well, I'm picturing a guy who I think is young, but I don't know for sure, and unfortunately, I don't know his name.
That's a big problem.
So that's kind of a problem. he coaches the Panthers, Dave. So I'm not going to guess him because I don't know his name. So I got to think of somebody else. And I can't think of anybody else who I think is young.
Going to need an answer.
It's not Sean Payton.
No, he's old.
How about the Dolphin guy didn't seem too young. I'll try him. Jeff Hafley of the Dolphins.
Jeff Hafley.
Yeah.
Youngest coach in the NFL.
That's my guess.
Dan,
you win
you
it right
winner.
Off the bat.
Stay right there. I'm going to come get your information.
Is it the Panthers guy?
Dave Canales? No.
Oh, it's not him. Oh,
Joe
good.
Brady,
Who's
the Bills
coach?
Head
I
coach.
Who he is. Oh, the Bills. Okay.
Yeah, Bills head coach.
They had
I'm
no
pretty
chance
sure.
on that.
Let me.
That was good. Good question, but yeah,
he's
tough.
This, you know, over time in my life, I get jealous of people. He is 36 years old, Chris, and he is the head coach of an NFL football team.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And you know what would have been a better guess by me,
McKay?
But I'm thinking about it. No, Kellen Moore, because he looks like he's 9 years old.
He does look very
from
young.
From the Saints.
He's got to be...
I don't know what he is.
He's 38. So that was close, yeah.
You know, I don't mean to be... congratulations, first of all, to you, Dan. You're going to go see Luke Combs and... You maybe can treat the drummer there a thing or two. But 36, guy's head coach in the National Football League. Same age as the actress, Hayden who
Panettiere.
Passed the other day.
Yeah,
how sad was that story?
Yeah, I don't like
it's
stories
just horrible.
Like that. I don't like stories
I
like
don't
that.
Either, but it just, you know, the world so different the way it can, you know, the directions things can go.
Yeah.
Joe Brady's... living the high life,
you know. That's
Hayden Panettiere
great...
was in such, you know, evident pain or what suffering or whatever to take the, you know, unfortunately the medicine, the cocktail that was unfortunate for her. All right, Dan, stay on the line. We'll get you in a couple of minutes. Scraby and I are going to kick a few things around here, but yeah, Joe Brady, youngest coach in the National Football League, 36 years old. Wow.
Are we expecting a pretty terrible year from the Buffalo Bills just because...
Terrible?
I don't think the coaching is up to
really?
Par.
Wow.
Remember when they fired Sean McDermott, and there was other guys on the market, and so they kind of just had to hire Joe Brady because there was no one else out
there. Yeah, I didn't understand the firing of Sean McDermott unless Josh Allen came in one day and said, hey, I've had it with Sean McDermott. But it didn't seem like that would be the case. Maybe they just – I think for Buffalo, it's like we should be better – or we should have done better in the playoffs by now. So he's going to fall guy. But I think they are going to be mad that they did this because I think Sean McDermott was good. The problem with the Bills being bad is that who's going to beat them? The Jets are much worse. The Dolphins are certainly worse. And I don't know anybody who thinks the Patriots are going to take a step forward this year, given the fact that they're going to play a legit schedule this time. And the world of karma has to haunt Mike Vrabel at least some.
Yeah, I would
agree. So I don't know. I would still almost favor Buffalo in that division just by the old process of elimination thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, you
either.
Think the Patriots will beat them then? They beat them last year.
I think the Dolphins are going to win the division.
There you go. It's great. That a boy.
I mean, it's kind of a weird division, the AFC East this year. You got the Patriots, obviously, as we just said. We got the Dolphins. You got the Jets.
The Dolphins were picked by USA Today to win one game.
That's crazy. I don't believe that for one second. I don't believe that for one second.
And the one guy picked them at Sports Illustrated to not only win five games, but to win in San Francisco in week two.
Yeah, he also made some stupid. It was like if you're going to win some games, they could beat the 49ers. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
Anything's possible.
Anything is definitely possible. But
all right, so here's the other side of the coin since we have a couple minutes. Who's the oldest coach in the NFL right now? Easier question, maybe, but. You still got to think of it.
Oldest coach in the NFL.
Dan hit it on the, Dan won the prize on the youngest coach.
Let me think about this.
67 years old.
67,
oldest coach
huh?
in the National Football League.
Oh, it's
got to
be Andy Reid.
It is. Yeah. Second place at 62 years old.
I have no idea.
There's two coaches that are 62 years old.
Well, no, I was going to say Dan Campbell. He's definitely not 62.
He can't. There's three coaches that are 62. Wow.
One of them has to be John Harbaugh.
No.
Really?
Not John Harbaugh.
I thought he would definitely be 62.
62 years old. The oldest of the 62-year-olds, Todd Bowles of the Bucks. Why is he still coaching them?
I have no idea.
What has he ever done to like impress somebody?
He won a Super Bowl.
With what?
Tom Brady?
Where? No, he did not win that. Bruce Arians won that.
Ah, you're right. So I don't know then. You're right.
I don't know what Todd Bowles has ever done to impress anybody. But anyway.
Sean Payton, the guy
Sean
we just
Payton
talked
is
about.
One of them who's 62.
Yeah. Good job, Steph.
And very good, Steph. And then 6 days older than Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh is also 62.
Wow.
Now, wait a minute here. Dan Quinn, 55. Wait a minute, this is an old list.
Oh, no.
No, it is, because Tomlin's on here.
Oh, no.
And Aaron Glenn's on here.
So this
could
be...
Well, where the hell's John Harbaugh? He's not... You're wrong. You're not wrong. John Harbaugh should be on this list. Hold on.
This is a Chris Ello.
Yes, we may have the bearer of misinformation.
Uh-oh.
And that's not my style normally.
Normally, he says.
Oldest coach... How about Pete Carroll? No, he's not
He's
still
not here
there.
Anymore. Says the average age of a coach is 48. 15 coaches in their 40s.
Jim Harbaugh is younger than John Harbaugh. So, yes, you were right. Very good. It goes Reed, John Harbaugh, Todd Bowles in that order.
How old is...
John Harbaugh is 1 year older than Jim.
How old is what's his name? Vrabel. Good old man Vrabel.
Good old...
he's got to be like 50-something.
Good old... What's the old Vrabel's nickname these days? Honest Abe, isn't it? Terrific
honest,
guy.
Honest Vrabe.
What a joke that guy is. It's so hard to look at him on the sideline now and just have any respect at all for that whole organization.
I don't disagree. He's 51, so he's pretty young. He's pretty young. Like in
He's
baseball,
clearly not the first person to cheat on somebody, so let's at least say that. But beyond that, you are in a position that you're in. And you've been propped up in that position after this embarrassment. So I do think he deserves the criticism he gets in that regard. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some people, maybe there's a lot of people out there who just think it's much ado about nothing, but I disagree with those people.
And McKee says, really looking forward to the Vikes ruining every Sunday for my husband and for my oldest son. The Vikings, I think, are going to be okay.
Vikings are winning that division, my friend.
They're going to beat out the Bears and the Lions?
They beat the Lions out last year, so they can beat them out again. And the Bears are coming back to the pack because
I agree.
The Bears are going to face expectations.
Oh, can we?
It's always a big deal. Teams never do well when they finally have expectations.
I totally agree with you, and I had a Scraby Show thing I never got to last week, so let me pull it up real quick. Ben Johnson. This is what was written about him.
Oh, that's right. He's the Bears coach. Yeah. Oh, he's due for some comeuppance. There's no question. My.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, we're on the same page. Because this came from an article about him. And I wanted to just be like, he usually gets 5 hours of sleep this time of year. And that suffices. Oh. Johnson can function with 4, which he normally settles for once the games begin. His alarm is set for 4:30, but he usually wakes up well before then, thinking about how his Chicago Bears can redefine greatness.
Yeah, he is way too full of himself, Ben Johnson.
He said the other day he wants to make them the best offense in the history of the NFL. Stop predicting things like that. You can't.
It's hard to do that, but, you know, he's got the Iceman.
He does have the Iceman. George Gervin. No,
he's
Caleb
got George Gervin at quarterback. Do they even have a wide receiver this year? Oh, Roma Dunze. I don't know.
The Luther Burden's hurt, so, and then they have those two tight ends that are really good.
Okay, just to finish up on the age of coaches, and we'll go to break, and Dan's been waiting to get his prize. Andy Reid, 1. John Harbaugh, 2. Mike McCarthy, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Finally got an updated rating here. Todd Bowles, 4. Jim Harbaugh, 5. Youngest, Joe Brady, Kellen Moore, Mike McDonald, the Super Bowl winner, is only 39.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Mike LaFleur.
LaFleur.
He's the guy with the Cardinals, new guy. And another new guy with the Raiders, Clint Kubiak. Those are the youngest.
All right.
Clint Kubiak, get ready to be 0-1, pal.
He's playing the Dolphins.
Opening day in Vegas.
I mean, the Raiders. Oh, that's right. The Raiders aren't that good.
Either the Dolphins. We'll be back with Gwen and Chris in a minute. Dan is going to see Luke Combs, if he remembers to go. June 26th, the next year. That is next year at least, Dan. It's not like 5 years from now, but next year. The rest of you want tickets, LukeCombs.com. Crisello, Scraby, Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Big Five coming up in a few minutes. Also, in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm pretty excited about this. Kind of lost track of it because we have a long show today. A special edition of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
Yeah.
Coming up at 5:30. It's going to be a classic battle between Tony and Scraby for the title. I think everybody will like today's category. I hope you do anyway. A couple of quick NFL notes. The National Football League.
Oh, hold on.
Coming into week 2 of the preseason. Bad news, Houston Texans.
Yes,
very bad. Wide receiver Jaden Higgins out for the year. Torn ACL.
Yeah.
Higgins was going to be the guy, along with Nico Collins. Now, hello, Tank Dell.
Yeah, they're getting him back. They're losing Jaden Higgins.
Yeah, or Jalen Noel or somebody. But Higgins was going to be kind of give them a second. They didn't really have a consistent second weapon.
No.
And Higgins was going to be that.
And Nico Collins is injured.
I like Nico Collins, but he has one problem.
Yeah,
he's got a terrible quarterback. at least C.J. Stroud was last year by the postseason. I don't know what happened to him.
I don't either.
I mean, the New England Patriots are good. They couldn't be good enough to intercept him 4 times in like 3 minutes. Alvin Kamara's out for a month, maybe longer. New Orleans Saints running back. I think it's good for Kamara. Isn't it interesting, though? He's 30 years old.
And he's ancient.
30, and he seems ancient. He seems like his best years were like 10 years ago when he was one of the best players in football.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't draft him even if you had the chance, would you? Why?
I drafted him last year, buying into the hype. Oh, he's being forgotten, and
He didn't do anything last year.
He didn't do anything.
And I know that's how we think about fantasy, but I'm talking even for the Saints, he didn't do anything last year. They do have Travis Etienne now.
Oh, that's true.
The Saints.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we'll give them a little boost. Colts bringing in Keenan Allen, former Charger, former, I don't know, a few other teams.
Don't you think when you get to this point in your career where you're playing for a new team every year?
Yeah, you should hang them up?
I'm not saying you should, but yeah. I think that's when you start thinking about it, right?
I think it's interesting. I think it would be different for, but there's a few things. If you're Keenan Allen and you're playing the National Football League, there's no way you're going to have a better life doing anything else.
True.
And so what's the hurry to get there? And if they're going to keep giving you a contract, I mean, Keenan Allen caught 81 passes last year.
That's more than I thought.
Yeah. 700 yards. He didn't get down the field, but 81 catches. I'm just saying, that's a pretty fun year. You know, they made the playoffs. So, you know, he gets to keep it going. But I know what you're saying, Scraby. You're like, yeah. Keenan Allen was good 5 years ago. He's not really a weapon anymore.
He's not.
But
he could probably, he definitely can help a team.
And the Colts, I think they didn't the Colts lose Pittman?
Yes.
The Colts' number one receiver now is the...
is it Alec Pierce?
Yeah. So there might be room for Keenan Allen there.
I mean, Alec Pierce, if that's their number one receiver, that's tough.
Colts were 8-2 last year. They finished 8-9. Everybody says it's all because they lost Daniel Jones. We'll find out this year. Giants are signing former Steelers running back, and we should say Charger running back, Najee Harris. I don't think he ever played much for the Chargers. Maybe one or two carries before he tore his Achilles. Najee Harris was a draft choice of the eventual champion fantasy team, Chris Ella, last year. But
he was a draft choice.
He didn't contribute, but he was a late round pick.
But he gets a ring.
If I feel like giving him one, but I haven't determined it yet. Giants already have Cam Scadabo, Tyrone Tracy, and Devin Singletary.
I forgot about Devin Singletary.
I don't like Cam Scadabo.
I don't either.
I liked him going into last year, but he's turned into such a meathead that I'm struggling to continue supporting him.
I still love that when he did that flip and he didn't land it, he sees no issues with doing the flip. He saw more issues in that the floor was bouncy than doing the flip itself.
John Harbaugh tried to make it fun, make a funny, and say, tell him to land it next time.
Yeah.
But I got to believe John Harbaugh brought him in and said, you're an idiot. Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah, I would think so.
Cardinals don't need any bad news, but they got it anyway. Jeremiah Love, their star running back from Notre Dame, is going to miss the rest of the preseason.
I don't know that's
a biggie.
Yeah.
But it is a high ankle sprain, and those things linger.
I've had a high ankle sprain before. It hurts.
They never seem to go away. They always think it's going to go away, but it doesn't. If you're looking for touches on the Cardinals, Tyler Algier now. James Conner's trying to bounce back, but still not practicing. What happened to old James Conner last year?
He got hurt, but James Conner, he was pretty good before that. Every year I see him during the fantasy draft, and every year I say, this is the year he falls off, and he hasn't yet.
Well, he did last year because of the injury.
Yeah.
What do you think about Jackson Dart? I'm hearing people who think he's going to be great, and I'm hearing people who think he's just kind of a rockhead who's going to keep running the ball and get blown up and eventually not deliver.
That's what I think is going to happen. Okay. I don't think he has a way of playing without being reckless. Jinx.
The one thing for Jackson Dart that people may, you know, forget, you know, when you're rating him is that Malik Nabers returns, and he's a hell of a good receiver. At least he impressed me. I mean, he caught balls 2 years ago. Who was their quarterback 2 years ago? They had nobody throwing to him.
It might have been Daniel Jones.
Anyway, I think that could make things a lot better for Jackson Dart. But I have a feeling Jackson Dart is going to be one of those guys that once he really does have success, we're all going to wish that he didn't, because he just seems like he's going to be a me guy.
Is he a PCA type? I think he might be a PCA type.
Is he in a preen?
When Jackson Dart starts doing the thrust after a touchdown, we're in trouble.
Didn't PCA hit another homer last night? Every night the guy homers.
It is true. I've had it with him. It's pretty insane. I think Jackson Dart can be good. but I just don't know if he's going to be able to figure out when he needs to pull the ball down and when he needs to throw it out.
All right, I'm going to give you one. Because you're like me, you got to have a Dolphin on your roster in the 16th round.
Okay.
Caleb Douglas.
Who's that?
He's the wide receiver who made like one of the best catches I've ever seen last week. And he is a rookie, and they are saying big time buzz in Dolphin camp. If the Dolphins are going to ever complete a pass, he might be the breakout guy.
Wow.
Caleb Douglas. Right, I know. Again, you're taking your, you know, risk there.
Yeah. You know, I signed into fantasy last night to check it out and see where my keeper was.
Yeah.
Malik Willis was my starting quarterback, so that tells you
how the season
tells you how things were.
By the way, did you see that there's a shot of the new Houston Texans uniform? Did I talk about this with you?
No.
The Houston Texans uniforms now are light kind of aqua blue pants. From the old Houston Oiler days, with the white jerseys and white helmets, it isn't much of a stretch to go from there to the Dolphins road unis. And when you look at the two of them at glance, hard to tell which team's which. I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah. If you know it's the Texans or the Titans, you go, okay. But if you just turn the TV on, they look really similar, so I'm mad at the Titans for stepping on our territory.
Okay.
More Gwynn and Chris is coming up, the Big Five, when we return.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Talking to Joey Votto here.
Here's a list I don't want to get on, Scraby. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, Casello, Scraby. Tony's coming back, but slower than he wants because the Padre plane was delayed, according to the crazy person in the studio here who tracks airplanes across the country.
They are now at 36,000 feet. Everything looks good.
Where? How far are they? Do we know?
They are
over Louisiana? Or
oh,
what?
Gosh, no. They don't go over Louisiana.
I know. Where do they go over?
They're actually
going over Alberta, Canada?
I think they're going over Pittsburgh right now, and then they're going to go through Ohio and Indiana.
You've got the whole thing mapped out?
Yeah, I got
out.
The route.
You are really need a life.
I do not.
Tony will be home when that all ends. He will be on the round table, I'm told, tomorrow morning. We look forward to having everybody with us at 9 a.m. And then our Gwynn and Chris show tomorrow from 2 to 5. It is an off day for the Padres. If you just tuned in, you're wondering how the game went today. Don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
It was frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
4-2 was the final. The Padres were 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They hit into two double plays, including one in the ninth inning with Fernando on deck. And when Fernando's just been on fire. And he drove in another run today with an RBI double, but they couldn't get him up there that last time. And the Mets hit a two-run homer. Carson Benj, I give him credit, but I never thought in a million years, that ball was leaving the ballpark. Looked like a pop fly to the third base stands.
There's always a Michael.
And it just carried down that line 300, 400 feet. How did that happen? The opposite field.
There always seems to be a moment in a Michael King start where someone takes him deep and he has this look on his face like, how did he do that?
Well, that I really don't know how he did it. The ball was tailing away from the left-handed hitter. It was right on the corner. It wasn't a bad pitch at all. And he just put a swing on it. I don't know. Anyway, Mets win, Mets win. Bummer.
Mets win.
Bummer, bummer. Here's the list I don't want to be on. I'm looking at this because you know me. I look at weird stuff during the breaks.
Yes, I do.
Here's a film of beloved actors who are actually terrible people.
Ooh.
Like, I don't want to ever be on that
Who's
list.
Who's on the list?
Should I, like,
yeah.
spill the tea?
I mean, they don't care. They're celebrities.
You don't think?
No.
Like, one of them surprises me because he really does seem like a good guy when you watch him on TV shows and he's on
Who's
comedy
that?
Specials. And he was great in the show Mad Men. My God, he was one of the best shows of all time. But he's been in a lot of good movies. John Hamm, they say, is a terrible person.
Why? Do they give you reasons?
Well, according to, no.
They don't give you reasons.
There's just a lot of
these people.
There's just a lot of Well, here's one thing that says he was once charged with hazing in college, but that doesn't make you a terrible person
It does. I don't like hazing. I think people who do hazing are bordering on criminal.
Here's another guy, but I don't know this guy, Ezra Miller. Seems like a younger guy. Anyway, Scraby, I might be somebody you hate on the radio, but I hope that nobody ever says, you know, that Chris Ella, he's really, what are the things they say?
Curmudgeon?
Yeah, he's really a curmudgeon on the radio, but you got to meet him in real person. He's way worse than that.
Yep.
Like, that is not a list I want to be on.
That's funny.
And I worry about being on that list because sometimes you agree with me here. Sometimes you're having a bad day or Lucky bit you, you know, whatever.
Lucky would never.
Didn't he bite you one time?
On accident.
No, okay. But yeah, something's wrong. You're having a tough day. Anyway, somebody recognizes you, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you, you know, don't come back with a, hey, how are you? And maybe you're just not in that mood that moment, that day. Then that person says, boy, that Chris Ella was, man, he's not a good guy. And then that person tells 10 people. They tell 10 more, and by the time you know it.
And then they ask me if it's true, and I say yes.
That's right. And you confirm it, which doesn't help. Matters.
Whenever I see, like, it doesn't happen often, but this did happen a long time ago, and it stayed in my head ever since. I looked awful. It was like I just got out of bed. I had a shirt that was dirty on. I was going to the grocery store, and someone recognized me, and I just looked like a troll. It was so. Now when I leave the house, I at least look somewhat.
You
want
to try to, yeah? Because people are saying, "Well, that's Scraby. He's a slob." Yeah,
I don't want that.
I know it takes one person to say it, and it becomes kind of true. Let's do the Big Five and get on to what else is happening in the world of sports.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Chris and I are in the Bill House Studios where we know how. This happened last night in New York.
Here's the 1-0. Lindor hits it in the air, deep down the right field line. Fernando all the way into the corner. The wall, leaps up, and did he catch it? He's holding, he's waiting.
That.
He did! What a play! Fernando went up over the right field wall and took a grand slam away.
Can I go back to second for Tony? Because you can hear Tony's brain break in this.
Into the corner. The wall.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
last time.
See, now you would play that for the next 9 years if I did that. So.
Oh, I will play this way. Like, this, his brain broke on that. And I think everybody's brain broke. And so this is why I'm bringing this up.
Number five.
Because we haven't really got into the catch from last
night. Did you clear this one with Jaden Daniels?
I did not.
No, you didn't.
Ooh. You know what? We're going to have to do a double four.
Number 4.5. They're calling it 4.5.
Right. Number 4.5.
Yeah.
That catch last night, I literally couldn't believe what I was seeing. He's very cool with the whole crossing his arms thing right after, his hair flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Where does that rank? This might be the best catch I've ever seen.
Okay.
Where does this rank for you?
Way up there. I think there's been actually better home run robberies.
Probably.
And you know, there's a few that come to mind, but they're difficult to describe. I mean, I think I've seen some. The one with the A's guy last year.
Oh, where he climbed at the wall.
Because he climbed at the wall and he caught the ball on the downward part. That was weird, but amazing.
Yeah, it was.
So I've seen a few. But the fact that you took a grand slam away in a game that you hit two homers. Fernando himself was a plus or minus 7 for the Padres last night.
Can I just say that Sam was talking about this
last
night?
So that was really good. He was plus 3 and he was minus 4 for the Mets. That's that's having quite the impact on a game.
That is. So Sam brought this up last night before the Craig Stammen press conference, and he goes, I don't think people are liking my comparison of the plus minus. And then Craig Stammen literally says the exact same thing that you guys did.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. It was a 7-run difference for one guy. My favorite catch of all time may not be the same for everybody else, but my favorite is still Jim Edmonds running away from home plate in Kansas City when he played for the Angels. The ball going directly over his head and him diving full out toward the center field fence and somehow catching that. That's my favorite catch of all time.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this one before.
But that one was pretty good for Fernando. It's going to be on the list because it you know, was such a...
If it didn't rob the Grand Slam, I don't know that we feel the same way.
It would have been good, for sure. But robbing a Grand Slam, I mean, imagine if he made, like, the Willie Mays catch, a little similar to Jim Edmonds, except Mays didn't dive.
No.
Jim Edmonds did. But Willie Mays catch came in the World Series. That's why it's been played for 75 years. Fernando makes that catch in a playoff or something?
Oh, man.
Are you kidding me?
That would be... So. I don't know if I could handle him doing that in some sort of playoff game.
Yeah.
But yeah, great catch. Great game for Fernando.
Number four.
Let's go to Paul Skeens, because Paul Skeens is struggling. And
struggle sauce.
The Pirates even gave him some extra rest before last night's...
Today's start.
Manager Don Kelly noted that it was for recovery, not injury. However, Skeens still allowed 3 runs and 4 walks and 4 1/3 innings. He was pulled after 81 pitches. It marked his first...
You're talking about today?
Today.
Yeah.
It marked his first back-to-back starts under 85 pitches since early 2026. Also, he's lost at least three miles an hour on the velocity. So...
It's one thing to lose a half mile here and there.
Yeah,
you have a dead
3?
Day. 3 miles is a lot for a guy of his caliber.
So
I don't know why they're not shutting him down.
That's the question.
What
for the
are
Big
they
five.
Doing?
They
they're
said
out
it's
of
not,
it.
It's not injury related.
It's got to be.
I agree.
What is it, mental?
I don't know.
Like mentally, he just can't throw the ball that hard anymore?
They're five and a half games behind the Padres right now.
What do you mean it's not...
Injury.
Injury related. It almost has to be.
Yeah, I don't know why they're fighting.
If you want to call it a dead arm,
true.
Whatever, that still in my mind is an injury.
Yeah. He's just not the same guy he's been in the last couple years. And
I'm worried about Paul Skeens right now. I mean, this is his third year of torquing his arm. As, you know, much as anybody ever has, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next guy to come along is Mizorowski, and I just hope the same doesn't happen.
At some point, I wonder,
are they going to stop using and abusing these guys and start to let them not throw as hard so that their careers can last longer? Or is baseball just going to continue to just use and abuse them until they're done with them and then toss them away and get the next guy?
Well, is the NFL going to use and abuse their players until the next?
Yeah, you're not wrong.
It's all professional sports.
And you're not wrong.
And, of course, they do take the risk into their own hands.
You're not wrong.
But at the same time, I do think the teams could maybe do a little bit of something to take a little bit of pressure off that arm.
I mean, if you don't throw 100 miles an hour, they don't give you a job in Major League Baseball, so you have to max out.
You do. I cannot figure out.
I'm worried about Paul Skeens a little.
Worried about Paul?
It's been 17 starts with an ERA over 5.
True.
That is a long time for a guy of that ability.
Very true. All right, Rory McIlroy was asked.
Boo!
Was asked by the media about LIV players returning to the PGA Tour and what value they're going to bring. And Rory said something that made people very mad.
I mean, I'd argue, have they brought value to LIV? You know?
That's it. Have they brought value to LIV? That was the thing that made so
many
people angry.
So he was asked, will they bring value? Or wait, did he was asked value?
He was asked if the LIV players
returning to the PGA, would they bring
what
value?
What value are they bringing to the PGA Tour? He said, what value did they bring to LIV?
He said, have they brought value to LIV? You have to quote him correctly.
Let's do it one more time. He also thinks about this before he says it.
I'd argue, have they brought value to LIV?
There you go.
All right.
So I argue.
Who's first?
I'm just going to go first here.
Okay.
Are you mad at this? No. And he's right. Did they bring value to LIV? No. No one cared about LIV ever. So he's not wrong. And people can be mad. but he's not wrong. Chris?
Nobody dislikes Rory more than me.
Correct.
Not even the Rory haters on tour who scream at him during...
Yeah, the Rory hate club.
Yeah, right. But I applaud him wholeheartedly for this one.
Okay.
Blind squirrel finds an acorn. Great line, Rory. Yeah, he was. I love it. He's getting a ding in at the same time. Like, he's digging at John Rahm and digging at Koepka when he left and digging at Mickelson by saying, you guys didn't do anything for Liv at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing just was a failure. You made some money, but it's a failure.
Hey, remember when Liv said that...
I think Rory hit one here. Good job.
You remember when they said that they had a bunch of investors about to invest, but now they're canceling tournaments and...
Yeah, why doesn't it just go away? Leave us all alone.
I felt bad for the Liv president because he was talking, and it does seem like he actually did really want to make an alternative to the PGA Tour. It just never worked, and you...
Can I steal number one from you?
Well, we're going to have to do it on the other side.
Okay.
We got two and one.
Oh, we still have two and one?
But you can take over one because we already talked about Pat McAfee.
Okay. I got an incredibly crazy, crazy, crazy story to kick off the 5 o'clock hour.
Well, like, this is going to follow the big
five. This is going to, like, you're going to have to be sitting down.
It's I am. So good thing weird. I am.
So weird.
Okay.
It's coming up.